Brian Mazurowski, Joe Beamer here with you on WBEN. How's it going, Joe?
Oh, Brian, it's a beautiful day. It's a Bills game day.
Looking and actually, I was about to say you're a liar, but the sun's out.
That's I looked up. I saw the sun. Beautiful day. That's why I parked my car on that side of the parking lot.
First time in forever.
Get a little sun. Get a little warmth in the car before. It might be warmer in my car than it is in the studio.
Oh, so it's like you have a car starter. Just parking in the sun.
Yeah, that's the Joe Beamer car starter. Yeah,
that's how you have to go about it. Hope everyone's doing well out there. Going to be a late night tonight with the Bills game. Kickoff at 8:15 on Amazon. That's a new one. I mean, people will still be able to watch it on Channel 7, which is something I don't think a lot of people realize this because they're used to the Sabres streaming deal. When the Sabres are on the ESPN Plus.
Yeah.
There's no other alternative. You can only watch them there. But when the Bills are on, the NFL's on streaming in the local market, you can watch it on TV.
Yes.
They make sure of that. So
it's the same as the cable deal.
Yeah, Channel 7 if you don't have Amazon. I watched like a little bit of the first Amazon game, and I haven't really watched that much since.
I've had a few issues with hiccups, like, you know, in the coverage. It's gotten better as the season's gone on. I've heard those same complaints when the Yankees are on Amazon. So we'll see tonight. I probably will just watch it on Channel 7.
Ryan Fitzpatrick's on Amazon.
Yes, he's on the halftime or the pregame and halftime and postgame show.
So that'll be cool to see.
Richard Sherman as well.
I'm sure I'll have some nice things to say about. I don't care about him, but Fitzpatrick will have some good things to say about the last time the Bills played the Patriots. Ryan Fitzpatrick was there too.
Yes,
shirt
he was.
Off in the stands.
He was under a heater. I was freezing, but you know what? It's one of those things that it was so memorable, and I'm hoping for the same result today, Brian.
I feel like you're in a mood, pouring cold water over everything.
No, I'll be honest with you, and maybe this is a ridiculous way to look at it, but you know, I like to compare games against opponents, and the way that the Bills played against the Lions compared to the way the Patriots played against the Lions, I feel a little uneasy about the game tonight.
Okay, well.
I'm a little on edge.
Feel easy. Should be good. Will be a fun one. 8:15 kickoff later on tonight for the Bills. Joe, I saw two stories this week.
All right.
That are a little similar. I love them both because I cannot believe that people actually do this. The first of these stories we talked about a little bit earlier this week, very briefly. A boyfriend and a girlfriend who a woman claiming on TikTok that her ex-boyfriend once charged her for medicine she asked him to get because she was sick. She said her ex had been they've been dating for about 4 years. He sent her a Venmo request to repay him $7 after he got Dayquil for her. At, you know, I'm assuming some sort of corner store.
Yeah.
And so she said, no. And the relationship's over.
Yeah, she made a TikTok video about it.
Yeah. So that was the first story. So a girl had her boyfriend get some NyQuil. The boyfriend said, yeah, can I get my $7 back for this? And then I saw this other story this morning, Joe, in the New York Post about a woman who charges her entire family to come over for Christmas dinner.
Like a cover charge. I'll cook dinner and everything. You have to chip in.
Even her three-year-old grandkids.
Oh.
A mother of five, grandma of six, charging adults up to $18 for the meal. Her grandchildren have to pay about six. She cuts it down. Her 2 3-year-old grandchildren are only being charged $3 a piece. So, you know, very nice of her to give that kid's discount for the little ones, the toddlers in the room who might not even eat anything.
Right.
But she charges, that is her family tradition, charging everyone for Christmas dinner. Even going so far as to sending out text messages saying, hey, you know, in the lead up to Christmas, if you're planning on coming over, you have to pony up.
That's ridiculous. I'm sorry. I think both are, because I went back to the TikTok one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when I first heard the story, I said, well, how long had they been together? But they've been together for over 4 years. It's a little ridiculous. I mean, isn't that the kind of thing where your relationship, everything just evens out? You know, like I'll pick up dinner one night. My wife will pick up dinner. That's the sound. I'm not saying, hey, your part of the meal was this much. Could you send that over? It's just it evens out. I would think at a certain point in your relationship, you hit that.
So I'm interested in that, Joe, because I think it varies pretty wildly what people are thinking on this. 803-0930, you can join us this morning. How does it work between family, between friends, between people who are dating, between people who are married? You know, we've talked about before, Joe, if you get married, whether you're combining finances or whether you're doing things separately on their own.
Oh, yes.
And I've said a bunch of times, I'm amazed by how many people I know that are married, do not have any combined finances. And I can see, and it's not like I'm scouring through Venmo all the time to, you know, browse on what everybody's doing. But when I make a payment, the first screen that pops up is like,
yeah.
Which I still think is weird, what everybody else is paying everybody
social,
else for.
It's a social media money thing, yeah.
I don't like it.
No.
I like the convenience of being able to send someone money, but the bad aspect of it, a little strange to me. But anyways.
That's why you Zelle.
I'm always seeing people who are in relationships,
married,
yeah. Paying each other for rent, groceries, thinking like, I can't believe people go through life this way. But to each their own. To each their own. That is your own prerogative. So I was not surprised, Joe, to see this story about a boyfriend sending a Venmo request to his girlfriend for $7 for NyQuil, because I'm thinking, I kind of see that all the time. I don't do it. It doesn't make sense. But I feel like I'm seeing that all over the place. My question is, where do you draw the line?
Well, see, that's ridiculous. The asking for it. Now, there have been times where, on a whim, my wife and I will decide to have, you know, lunch at a place. And I won't say anything. I won't send her a request. But she'll say, hey, I'll pay for my half. And you'll probably see a Venmo thing pop up. I would never request it, right? Because, like, if it evens up. Whatever. We're married.
It's strange to me that that's even, like, a thing.
What's that?
That, you know, that would ever be said by anybody. I'll pick up my half.
Yeah.
Between a married couple.
Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. Sometimes it just evens out. But also
like, that's how I treat friends.
Yes.
Right? Like, it evens out in the end. I'll pick up something sometime. Someone else will pick up something.
Well,
there's never any really, like, asking for money.
Yeah.
If you go out to a big dinner, maybe you split the bill. But, like, that's between friends. I just think when you're married, I still can't, even though I know almost 50-50, maybe people my age who do it one way versus another. But it's still crazy to me to think about the other way, where there's like intermarriage transactions going on.
Yeah.
Like all the time.
Yeah. Like after the show, I will send my wife my half of the rent. You won't see that on Venmo. We do that through the bank. But I'll send my half of the rent because she controls all that. She pays the rent and I'll send her my half.
I should do that to my wife, just like Venmo her right now. He's like, here, buy yourself lunch. We share all of our money.
Yeah,
it's all kind of the same.
But here's the thing. We do have a joint account. We have our separate accounts, and we also have our joint account. We just very rarely use the joint account because that's, you know, hey, if we go to like a big dinner or we're going on vacation, that's what the joint account's for. Or once we have a child, that'll probably be what the joint account's for.
To me, like, just way too much like thinking of that. Yeah, there's another one. You're about to throw a kid in the mix.
I know. They're going to have their own bank account.
Like, what do you do? I bought little Stevie lunch yesterday. You gonna pick up that tab tomorrow?
No, I think that's just the kind of thing where that's really where the joint account will be used for. Is that something that we both feed money into, and that will be mainly for kid stuff.
But, like, you have to think about it. Now you have to plan for it. Like, that to me is why it's just crazy to think that, like, half the people are doing it that way.
Yeah.
Where there's, like, all the time talking about money going in and out, who's paying for what. I just couldn't deal with it. Like, every single day, that happening.
But you make it sound like every single day we talk to each other about who's paying for what. It'll all even out. That's my attitude. It'll all even out.
Okay.
Oh, you got dinner last time? I'll get it this time. It's not like hey, now I'm getting dinner this time. You better make sure next time you get dinner. No. It's just a very, like, attitude.
All right. It's just not how
if it's the kind of thing where, like, hey, everything's got to be even, Steven, right down the middle, then I don't think it will work out. I mean, I know some people try it. I don't think it'll work out. If you're like, hey, at the end of the day, at the end of the week, it all evens out.
Okay. I'm not sure everyone takes it that way, though.
No, I don't think they do. I think if you're going to have a setup like that, you kind of have to have that kind of attitude. People don't, and I think that's why you see a lot of relationships end because of financial issues. It's because a lot of infighting over who's paying for what.
And it's funny because I feel like people are going away from that, like, shared financial.
Yeah. Well, that also
get away from financial issues. But in my head, I'm only seeing that it would cost way more.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's all about your attitude. I think you're going to have, if you're going to have financial issues in your relationship, you'll have them joint or separate if you don't have the right attitude. I think the attitude has a lot to do with it. Like, if you have the attitude of this guy in the TikTok story, who's charging his girlfriend, that's not the right attitude to have, in my opinion. That I would never send a Venmo request to my wife for something
I picked
up.
To your wife? To your girlfriend?
If we've been together for 4 years, no. I would not send a request. Hey, I'm buying.
How many years? That's the thing that I'm trying to figure out. Where's
the line? 6 months, I'm not charging you for DayQuil. You know what I mean?
I would never do it. But I feel like more and more this is how people are living their lives because of Venmo, because of like these apps that make it pretty easy to hand over cash or send someone over something real quick. I feel like more and more this is how people are doing it, itemizing almost every single thing. So like this story doesn't surprise me, but like somewhere there has to be a line that's drawn.
See, for me, what does surprise me, the story doesn't surprise me because you would think that's something that has been discussed in a 4-year relationship, right? You would think of this had come up before the DayQuil. In a 4-year relationship, this had come up. The thing that surprised me is the request. Again, I think that's the kind of thing that maybe you discuss. Because when I open Venmo and I see that someone who's married or in a long-term relationship requests money, like, what's the communication like when you're face-to-face that you have to request through an app? You know what I mean? Like, you would think that agreement is already there, a verbal agreement. That's the thing I see. I completely understand splitting and doing this and that. But when a married person or someone who's been in a relationship for a long time is requesting money, then, like, what's going on there? What's the communication's got to be a little off.
Again, I think that's probably more common than you would think. I feel like I look at, and I'm going to sound like an old person. I feel like at the altar, it's about as much face-to-face time a married couple is going to get that entire week. Like, that's as much time talking to each other as they spend in a week or a month's time.
Anytime we've done something where we're splitting it, that conversation's been done before the purchase has been made, right? And that conversation, again, has been made in person. It's not through an app. I couldn't imagine we're both on, you know, sitting on the couch watching the Bills game tonight, and my wife sends me a Venmo request for my half of dinner. Yeah. Like, you're sitting right there. You couldn't just verbally ask me?
No, that's what I should be doing to my wife right now. Sending a request, not a payment. Can I get some extra Chipotle and feel like it's on you or something?
Right.
That would be how you go about it. So, all right, in between couples, it's still this, like, weird conversation that couples have to have that I guess is no longer cut and dry. To my wife and I, I'm glad that we both kind of thought this way. It was pretty cut and dry. We have combined everything, and we just never really think about it. I mean, we're talking over big purchases. We've talked about this before.
Yes.
Like over $100. You're
and the calls we got
mentioning something.
And when we had a text board, the calls and texts we got were 50-50, I would say, when we did that. Because we did this show right before I got married about finances.
Yeah. You know, it works for us. This other example, this other story, Joe, of within the family.
Now, that's just absolutely insane.
But I'm wondering, what do you expect? If you have maybe just hosted Thanksgiving, and maybe you're going to host Christmas, maybe you're hosting something else during the holidays, do you have any expectation of your guests to bring something, to chip in? What is that level of expectation in your family? Because in this family, it sounds like, now, this is what I would say. I'll read another little passage from this story. said, like many moms and grandmas who always make Christmas dinner, I couldn't bear the cost of buying all the gifts and paying for the entire meal. I was worried I'd spend the new year paying it all off again. And okay, that's everyone would have a similar concern. You don't want to overspend your means. I would say a couple things to that. One, I still do think the cost of a Thanksgiving dinner, maybe not a Christmas dinner, certainly a Thanksgiving dinner, is a little overblown. Are you spending $100 on all the food for Thanksgiving? How many people do you have to spend $100 on Thanksgiving?
Oof.
A 20-pound turkey, you could have got for $12.
Okay.
That's $12. Get two of them.
Yeah.
All the other things, the stuffing mix, they're all pretty. A can of corn.
Oh, a stuffing mix, come on.
Well, I don't know. How much does it cost to make homemade stuffing?
Still not $100.
You add it all
up. Mashed potatoes.
I still think it's one of the cheaper meals that most people have. But I understand not everybody's going to do that. You add in the gifts when it comes to Christmas. Absolutely get it. In that case, don't host.
Right. If you don't want to pick up the spend, don't. Because where isn't a holiday dinner, isn't seeing friends and family you haven't seen for a while, getting everyone together, isn't that a whole part of hosting? If that isn't doing it for you and you need a monetary gain, let someone else do it. Because people are giving gifts, people are there. Don't we do anything out of love anymore?
But there is like there are levels to this, right? Because I think it's perfectly fine. Like nobody would bat an eye. I mean, if I'm invited over for dinner somewhere, my wife actually taught me this, but the first thing you say is, all right, what do you want me to bring?
Yes.
Have done that from the day when I met you.
That's right.
And
I want to feel like I contributed.
Yeah. Sometimes the person will say nothing. Other times the person will say, and it's not like a, what can I bring? Like a toss away that you don't really mean it. Like, I know the person's going to say nothing. I'm just putting it out there to be nice. Like, it's a genuine question.
Yeah.
The person can say nothing. I wouldn't be surprised. You can come back and say, could you bring a dessert? Could you, you bring the corn? You know, could you bring something like this? Maybe some drinks. You bring a case of beer.
Yeah.
Like, anything like that. It's all on the table. No one's surprised at doing that. Charging actual money, though. Like, that's where, like, hey, Ma, why don't we take over?
Yeah, you're right.
I'm sick of paying for dinner.
you bring one.
Your dinner isn't that good anyway.
Yeah, your dinner's not worth the $18 you're making me pay. You bring one of the dishes you were going to serve. I'll make the rest of it. You bring it over. That'll be your payment. Isn't it funny, though, when I ask what can I bring, more times than not, people will tell me, just bring beer. They don't really trust me to bring a dish. You can bring the beer. I've never been trusted with the dish.
Well, and they know you're going to bring a lot of it.
Yeah, that's probably why.
That might be why. I think my response to this woman would be, after a couple of years, like, all right, Ma, you know, I got myself two kids. We're adding it all up, $35. You know what? We're going to bring over Chipotle for my family and
watch you eat.
That'll be it. Unwrap it at the dinner table. What about you? What do you think when it comes to asking for money? It could be in your relationship, within a family, for family dinner, around the holidays. Are these examples totally out of whack? They seem way out of whack. I suspect maybe not so much in 2022 with the way we kind of handle things.
I mean, if you've paid money, like literally cash, I don't mean by, you know, gifts or something. If you've paid money to go eat dinner at a family's residence, could you please call in? I need to hear this story. 803-0930. Please call in.
Bea Mazin Beamer will be back after the news on WBEN. That's right. We're back here. Brian Mazeroski, Joe Beamer on WBEN. And we're talking about your money. What do you do with it? and we have been all morning long in different ways. But these two stories I saw this week are both I don't know, mind-blowing and not surprising. Does that make any sense, Joe? I'm taken aback. I think it's ridiculous, and I'm not surprised.
The second story is surprising to me. Like, that one is surprising. The girlfriend TikTok story. I will go back to what I said. The surprising part to me is the request. So is in front of everyone to see, because everyone sees your request in that little feed. All your friends see your request. The girl you've been with for over 4 years, $7 for DayQuil.
Well, you don't see the amount.
Okay, but for DayQuil.
you don't know what they put in as the emoji. So
if you're in a relationship and your request is coming in on an app, to me that shows you have some communication issues.
To me that just shows you're in a relationship, apparently, because I'm looking at my Venmo feed right now, and it's all over the place. People who are in relationships paying each other for a bunch of different things. The rent, here, a phone bill, dinner out, a whole bunch of different things. It happens all the time. So the two stories we're talking about, one, this TikTok creator, what a job title, by the way, TikTok creator. Anyways, she said she broke up with her ex after 4 years, after he sent her a Venmo request to repay him $7 after he got Dayquil for her. And I looked at that and I said, well, I feel like the guy is probably stunned, because it wouldn't be surprising. I see it happen all the time. I don't know where the line is, though.
I got to tell you, I just went on my Venmo and looked through my feed. Okay, some of this stuff is right? Like, yeah. Like, someone put as the description, I'm not going to say the exact description, I don't want to give it away, but put in the description something referenced in a vacation. You're splitting the vacation on Venmo? I don't know. That's ridiculous.
I've seen people, in a relationship, like with a beer emoji, paying one another.
Yeah, see, I get like bills. And again, every now and then, maybe a dinner you decided to split. But I don't know. So, if it's often, and again, if it's a request, to me, that just screams communication issues.
So that brings kind of the other story.
If my wife's listening, please don't ever do anything on Venmo again. Let's do it all through the bank.
I can't. Now I'm ready to pounce, Joe, when I see it.
I know. I could already imagine the text with the...
The other story is this woman who charges her family for Christmas dinner. That's right. $18 for the meal for adults. Kids get a break. Could be $6. Could be just $3 if you're a toddler. But she charges everybody walking through that door. If you want Christmas dinner at grandma's house, you're going to have to pay for it. And where is the line there? 803-0930 to join us this morning. 803-0930. And I do kind of wonder here what this is. Now, I think a lot of people would say this is over the top, charging family to come over for dinner. But I do think it is also, I don't know, I always kind of live like, I feel uncomfortable asking anybody for anything, generally speaking. You come over, if I'm inviting you over, I want it to be an open invitation, and what's mine is yours, and, you know, go ahead. Feel like you're at home if you're a guest at my house. I don't want to be charging. I might ask you to bring something over if we're going to have like some sort of big dinner. I think that's a little bit different. But aside from that, I feel kind of strange asking for help. But I'm imagining that it does happen in families where you would ask for, that there are instances where you're not exactly asking for, let's say, a side dish. If someone says, what can I bring? That someone's like, it's getting pretty expensive this year, and they want like a gift card to the supermarket to help pay for it. I feel like that probably does happen.
Maybe in that way. But I think just, hey, at the door, here's the $18. Or I don't know, that just seems, I would be very uncomfortable asking in return for money. Like you said, bring something. Maybe bring a nice bottle of wine, right? But again, if we're talking family, don't you guys exchange gifts? Isn't this just all part of the holiday season? If spending that kind of money on your family is too much for you, then maybe it's time to, you know, hang up the pans and let someone else do it.
Retire the apron.
Yeah.
Raise it to the rafters.
Yeah. Maybe it is. I'm not trying to be mean, but maybe you can just go and be, if your main focus is, oh my gosh, this dinner is costing me so much money. If that's your main focus and not, I can't wait to have people over, I can't wait to see so-and-so, and if that's not your number one focus, then guess what? It's not for you. And I'm sure other members of the family would love to host, would love to take that from you and say, hey, Bring what your favorite dish to make, and that will be your payment into our dinner.
This person in the article says, expecting one person to pay for the entire meal, prepare it, clean up, have their heating and electricity used. I mean, come on. You're bringing in your own heating bill. I was going to keep the house at 60, but now that people are over, I have to. Actually, we had people over for Thanksgiving. We didn't have the heat on because everyone's just sweating out Guinness the entire night.
And stuff's on in the kitchen to keep the house is heated.
It's too hot. I'm opening windows
in
there. But she is. She says, it's a no-brainer for me. It's the only way to go. And I'm looking at pictures here. You do have an option. It looks like the inside of a fancy wedding. There are table covers, gold napkins, chair covers with a big ribbon and bow, centerpieces, fancy glasses that I wouldn't know which piece of silverware to use. You do not have to do this. Like that, you're going above and beyond what anybody would expect for your dinner. Like, if that's too much for you, you don't have to do any of that. Just stop doing it.
And see, I'm looking at a picture where there's a 2 liter of Pepsi on the table. Like, that takes away from the fanciness, in my opinion.
That's a different picture.
Okay.
You missed the caption. The ones who don't pay up get uninvited.
Yes. That's
and they're having their own dinner.
I see this table now. Yeah, that's a little nice. That's a little too nice. And you know what? If I went to my parents' house on Christmas, and number one, on Christmas at the Beamer family, we order out on Christmas Day. So if that's what the table looked like, I'd say, Mom, Dad, you guys have gone way above and beyond.
I feel uncomfortable.
Very uncomfortable. As uncomfortable as you should be for asking me to give you cash for this dinner. But you wonder, this is a great example, Brian. You wonder how money tears families apart. Here's an example. Here's an example of how money would tear a family apart.
This is how it would happen. This article gets better and better as it goes along. She's quoted as saying, I love the joy of Christmas and all the family together, but it's now become so commercial. People get overwhelmed and it's too much. A nice family meal and a gift made with love is all I need.
But you're not making a meal.
You're
with
charging
love.
your own family to eat dinner at your house, and you're going.
She's
way
blaming
above.
It on the commercialization of Christmas.
Yeah,
like if
you're the one who's commercializing.
If traditional Christmas is what you want, if that's what you love, you can still make Christmas in your house traditional Christmas.
Put up a plastic tree. It costs $80 once. Use it every single year.
Use the nice dining room table. You don't need to cover it. You don't need to wrap
the
chairs. Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah. Get everyone together, and you'll be just fine.
Oh, Christmas at my house is a lot different. I mean, by the end of the day, we just want, something that we can talk, sit around. I mean, we're all tired. It's been a long day, right? I mean, now you got to do two Christmases. You got to go to one, and you got to go down the street. By the time we get to my parents.
I envy you. Two Christmases.
Yeah. by the time we get to my parents, I'm like, let's open some gifts and whatever you want for dinner. I want to eat right here on the couch while watching football.
Christmas Eve.
No, there's football on Christmas Day
Christmas Day football?
Three awful games, but there are three games on Christmas.
Like a Thanksgiving schedule on Christmas?
1-4-8.
Oh.
Yeah. Dolphins are at 1 against the Packers.
Okay. I like it.
Yeah. Rams-Broncos at 4, so you can skip the 4 o'clock game.
There's always like basketball on, and I'm just,
But it's Sunday this year. That's why.
Yeah, but I just knew the Bills played on Christmas Eve. Yeah, I thought they moved all the games.
They moved all but three. What they thought were going to be three very competitive games, they were wrong about the 4 o'clock game.
So the Bills will play Christmas Eve.
Yes.
That probably throws a wrench in. There's another one. Thanksgiving, two nights in a row. Can we all agree, by the way, a week removed, that playing at 12:30 is the worst time for the Bills to play on Thanksgiving?
Yes.
100%.
I actually would be fine if the Bills never play on Thanksgiving again. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, I would, too.
Because here's the thing. 12:30 is also a bad time because that's when people are getting, that's when a lot of
it's
people
terrible.
Are starting to come over. If you're going to have a conversation, did you have to pick the, people are having conversations over the TV. Like, I'm fine talking about the game. I really don't care how your year's been until 4:30. So can we keep this until, you have the rest of the day. I'm not going anywhere. You have the rest of the day.
Mine was, hey, honey, can you just grab this out of, there's 20 seconds left in the fourth quarter. I could do without that. You know, yeah. I'm not trying to be that guy. But
Christmas Eve is fine because it's over at 4. My Christmas Eve festivities don't start till 8. So Christmas Eve, I'm fine.
And Christmas Eve people do later a lot, but I'm wondering because it's the weekend. If you know, maybe people had planned a little bit earlier. I don't think it'll be as intrusive, but I do think that when the Bills played at 4 on Thanksgiving, that was perfect. You're generally where you're going to be.
Yes.
For the next 5 or so hours, anyway.
People really aren't walking in.
You're settled. You know, where you get there. I don't know. It's usually like 3-4 is when you go over to someone's house. So you're there for kickoff. It might bleed into dinner. It probably does. You move a TV near. Everyone can see as they're eating.
Yep.
It was the perfect time. I went to the game last year, so I don't really know how it'd be 8 o'clock.
I thought it was awful because by halftime people are falling asleep, and I don't want to be watching.
If you're
the
host, it's got to be awful.
Yeah, I don't want to be watching a Bills game around people who are falling asleep. Like tonight, if at halftime my wife's like, "Oh, I'm getting tired," well, you can watch the rest of the game in the room because I don't want someone falling asleep while I'm watching the Bills game. I want to be focused. I don't want to go over there and watch the game.
But I would say 4 best, 8 second best.
The 12:30
is just
12:30 is the worst. It would be better if they played at 9 in the morning. I'm 100% honest. It'd be better if it was 9 in the morning.
Yeah.
12:30 is the absolute worst time.
You feel like you could do something.
Yeah.
12:30, it's like, oh, what do I do? Do I invite myself over somewhere way early?
This was the first time I had watched the full 12:30 game on Thanksgiving. Because usually, I mean, I'm not, like you said, I'm not
it
where
it kicks off, I'm like, oh, there's a game on already?
Right. Some people are still watching the parade.
And then I go, oh, this game's still on?
Yeah.
At some point.
I usually catch the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
That's usually when I catch the Detroit Thanksgiving game.
But I'm wondering it now, that's 2 holidays that the Bills might take over. It's a 1 o'clock kickoff, right?
1 o'clock in Chicago, Christmas Eve.
So, I mean, maybe it doesn't impact a lot of people, but it might. If you have Christmas Eve plans, now you're, okay, here's the Bills again on another holiday.
In 2 years in a row, they'll play on Christmas Eve. Unless they're Monday Night Football next year and playing on Christmas night, because Christmas Eve will be on Sunday next year.
Oh, yeah.
So they'll be home. I can tell you that right now. They'll be home on Christmas Eve next year. They wouldn't put them on the road back-to-back Christmas Eves.
Why not? They put them on the road back-to-back Thanksgivings.
They did, but that's a little different. Those places are set on Thanksgiving.
Well, they could have had us home last year and said.
Very true. Very true.
They could have not played us.
If I could put a FanDuel bet down right now, I'd say the Bills are playing at home next Christmas Eve or Christmas night on Monday Night Football.
I remember going to that game, Christmas Eve, Bills.
Tim Tebow. Yep.
No one was there.
Bills won.
It was nice because you had a good excuse of why you were late. I was at the game.
Yep.
It was like a perfect excuse. Sorry, I was at the game all day. All right, now I'm ready. You can roll in basically whenever you want. Ah, traffic. What's someone going to say to that?
Christmas Eve games. There was another Christmas Eve game against the Dolphins. They played the Giants 1 year. Christmas Eve games are fun. I'm a fan of home Christmas Eve games. Like you said, it gets an early start, and then you have an excuse to get late.
I'm jealous of your 2 Christmases. I was not joking.
Yes.
We have 4 Christmases.
You have 4, yeah. Like the movie.
To try, yeah. I've never seen the movie. Probably should watch it.
Yeah.
It would speak to me, maybe.
Do you know, I did not see that movie until I learned that Vince Vaughn and Reese Witherspoon did not like each other while filming. And I have to watch this movie now.
They didn't?
No, they hated each other. I have no idea.
Oh.
Just didn't. But they're very good actors because you couldn't pick it up in the movie.
Couldn't tell?
No.
Part of the movie isn't them getting mad at each other?
Well, it is, but they're good actors. That's okay.
You have to put your foot down after a while and just say, we can only do so much.
I mean, if the Bills played on Christmas, you would have to cut a Christmas out of your rotation, right?
We already have. Bills or no Bills. There's there's too much to do. You can't go.
What time does that start 4 Christmases? What time would you start?
Well, that's what I'm saying. We don't do it.
Oh, okay.
We have it, and we've just said no.
Okay.
It's just, you're on a rotation, Christmas, Thanksgiving. Everything gets put into one big thing.
Are you a stay-at-home now?
You can't do.
You come to us?
We're trying to maybe get there for some parts.
Yeah.
Maybe a little Christmas morning, you come to us action.
Yeah, why not?
Christmas Eve, We're on our way there, starting this year, Joe. It's working. It's in the works. I like it.
I'm saying right now, starting next year, I'm going to be that with going from two Christmases to one. Hey, we have a kid now. You come to us. You come to us. We're not going house to house.
I call it weaponizing my child. I do it all the time. It used to be called the kid excuse. Now it's just weaponizing my child. Like, you want us to come over somewhere or do something? Like, yeah, kid, like
you come, come
over. I can't make it. Kid excuse, come over here. Can't do it. In the middle of a nap. He's sleeping. Can't leave him alone. No babysitter. Anything like that. Can't bring him.
I can't wait. You got to write these excuses down. I can't wait to use them.
Oh, they will come naturally. They'll roll off the tip of your tongue, Joe, as to why you can't do stuff. Yeah. And it is an excuse, by the way. You can always make something work.
Right.
Like, very rarely, like, very, very rarely is there a time where it's actually you can't make something happen.
But it sounds so much better when I say, hey, sorry, kid, instead of, sorry, the Mets are playing.
Yeah. But you use it on, like, people who don't have kids. And they're like, oh, yeah.
Get it. Yeah.
We don't work.
Understand.
Like, no, actually, you don't. Like, we could totally come over. I just don't want to. I'm using this as an excuse. You don't get it. You will, but then you won't. And then some people just never get it. The kid excuse thing. Like, they live by the kid excuse. And they actually are of the mind, like, oh, we cannot do this because we have a kid. You know those people.
Yeah.
Fall off the face of the earth.
Sorry, they do.
Yeah. And, you know.
Yeah. Well. I mean, when you have, this is what I've learned. I don't have a kid yet, but when you have friends that have kids and are still very social people, like you, Brian, very social, still out and about, then when you have the friends that also have a kid, but then use that kid for every excuse of why I haven't seen you in 2 years, sorry, I'm starting to grow weary of that excuse because, like I said, I see Brian out more than any other friend.
I had to, I'm usually picking up my son from daycare the other day. That didn't happen.
Right.
We were out watching the soccer game together. You know, World Cup only happens once every hour. Like, normally, if there's a game I want to watch in the afternoon, which happens time to time, soccer stuff, I usually pick him up from daycare. I take him along with me, go somewhere, and, me and my kid. That wasn't going to happen on Tuesday. And he got, made it work. Stayed at daycare a little bit longer.
Look at that.
My wife picked him up at the end.
Yeah.
Goes, why are you picking me up? And he's like, oh, Dad's watching soccer. It's like, oh, okay. You know, and that was that.
And USA won. I know we talked about this yesterday, and you and I made the USA men's soccer team Instagram video.
I did see that.
Yes.
They were in the Buffalo watch party.
Yep.
There's me. I got to say, I should have gave basketball a shot.
It was a good jump.
I had a nice jump. I was wearing like the Air Force Ones. Maybe the like air sole gave me a little bit extra, but
I think so.
I should have gave basketball a little bit more of a chance when I was a kid. I had a pretty good jump out there.
My problem with basketball, I did try out for basketball in high school. I didn't make the team because I couldn't play defense.
I could make the
basket.
Enough.
I was tall enough at the time to be under the basket, but then I would try to like backtrack and I would let the kid, someone just run right by me. Yeah. Like they would do one-on-one drills. And after the coach said, you've got the height and everything, but you can't play defense. It's like, yeah, I know.
I would just foul everybody. Like, oh, you can't do that. Like, what can I do? What can you do? What is this sport? People always say soccer's soft. You can play basketball. You can't do anything. I can't touch anybody. You can't, like, you put your hand, you go like this, put your hand out. You can't do it. You know, they're blowing the whistle on you. I look at the ref, well, what?
Yeah.
What can I do? I'll just stand up here then. I won't play defense. Yeah. Catch me up the other side of the court.
You just got to stand, you got to guard.
That's stupid. You should be able to whack someone in the face.
Okay.
Slam ball. That would have been my sport. If they had a slam ball team in high school, trampolines and everything.
Slam ball's on its way back next season. Cannot wait.
It is?
Yes.
There we go. That's what I'll be watching. Are they going to do Christmas? They could take over the NBA.
Oh, we'll see. We'll see next season.
We'll be back. Oh, you will not be back here tomorrow.
I am taking a day off.
Good, smart thinking.
Stay up for the game. Hopefully a win. If it's not a win, I'm going to be very upset that I wasted a vacation day.
Yeah. Before we go, if you want be caller number 3 into 202-WBEN, you win a pair of tickets to go see the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, their matinee performance. Caller number 3 into 202-9236. You are the winner.
All right. Brian, we'll see you tomorrow. I will talk to you on Sunday. Hardline. Hardline's back. Don't miss it Sunday. Brian tomorrow. David next here on WBEN.